The best thing that happened last year was that Danny Dimes went from the guy with that picture to playoff quarterback.
Now he's Danny Dollars. We have to correct ourselves.
True. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. That contract too, like 4 years for 160.
We'll start calling him Daniel De Niro.
It's like he said, dude, there'd be a four in front of that number.
Yeah.
Guess what? $40 million. That's what it is now.
I see the other day they compared his salary, what it's going to be to Patrick Mahomes, and it's more than Mahomes.
They got ahead of it. They're like, hey, this is going to be a shit ton of money up front. Here's $500 million, but 5 years from now, we're going to be looking like we're ripping this guy off.
Right. And that's like someone in the Discord keeps posting like tweets from like Ian Hartitz that are like, hey, look at how much the last 10 receivers that got $60 million contracts in free agency, look at how bad they are. And it's like, yeah, but you got to understand that the way that contracts, like, that shit's more expensive now. So Christian Kirk ruined the market for years to come because now Jacoby Myers is going to get, you know, $18 million a year. It's just kind of how it goes.
Someone's got to break the mold.
Yep. So let's contain. We need to contain as much Justin Fields excitement as we can on episode 73.
Dude, I can hear Waleed through my headphones right now from you guys just screaming.
As soon as it happened, we have like a Facebook chat with me, Tony, and Waleed. And it was like, I think Waleed beat me to it. And then Tony shortly after texted me. But
dude, like the name of the chat is LaVisca Chenault is a Chicago Bear chat. And it's been that way since last year. And it's like, dude, we got the wrong receiver. Bears got the wrong receiver. They should have gotten Visca.
But Visca is now the number one receiver in the NFC.
Let's talk. We'll circle back. We'll talk about how fucked the new quarterback is in Carolina in a moment. Episode 73. It's Friday night. We're feeling good. I'm joined by Ryan, Shane, and Craig. How's it going, guys?
Going good.
Doing well as a proxy Bears fan.
The world are Bears fans tonight, man. This is like
bad time, Shane.
Oh, no. Before we get started, I should tell you, like, my dad texted me and was about, like, this is the first text. Yeah, this is how he started. He said, well, they did it again. Traded a first round pick. Let's see how they screw this up. I'm counting on it. But if it works out, I'll be happy. That's the Bearsiest shit I've ever heard in my life.
That's a man who's been hurt multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. He can't enjoy anything. I didn't celebrate the Cubs victory in the World Series until like the next day. Cause I was like,
it's not real.
It's not real yet.
So in talking about the Bears really quick, I do have a quick shout out on number 73 of the Bears.
Okay.
He was the oldest player on the Bears team when they won the Super Bowl. Any guesses, Tony?
Was it Mike Hartenstein or whatever?
Yeah, Mike Hartenstein, 73.
I wasn't even alive.
I can't believe you got that.
That's how the 85 Bears are, man. That's the only thing the franchise has.
2019, he was voted one of the Chicago Bears' 100 greatest players of all time.
100 oldest players of all time.
But yeah, I just want to give a little shout out to Mike Hartenstein.
Shane, you said you had a short one this week. You want to hit us with your 73?
Yeah, so mine's the blackout rules that started in 1973 for the monopoly of NFL, which reigned from 1973 to 2014. So it stated that a home game cannot be televised in the team's local market if 85% of tickets are not sold at 72 hours prior to the start time, which in a market is defined as 75-mile radius around the team stadium. And for Australian viewers, that's 121 kilometers. I gotta shout us out, man. We're the number 35 fantasy sports podcast in Australia.
They love us. They love us.
Suck it, Reggie.
So the NFL is the only major sports league in the United States that requires a team to sell out tickets prior to broadcast. Club, luxury suites, and visiting team tickets don't count. But teams are able to purchase tickets for 34 cents on the dollar to prevent a blackout. If you ever experienced a blackout, your team's cheap and doesn't give a fuck about you as a fan.
Yeah, for sure. The Bears had blackouts in the 90s all the time.
I said, remember the Blackhawks? Underwards.
Yeah, they didn't televise the games at all. Because they were like, if you want to see the Hawks play, you gotta go to a game.
Yeah, you gotta come here.
That's right. Special instances of North Carolina and LA that they will kind of waiver those rules because they know that they're major cities, even though they're kind of fair weather teams.
Sure.
They cover a large area, but they're expecting people to, since you got money and it's a fair weather area, you should go to games to see the stuff. So it's a big propaganda thing.
Yeah.
And along with that is my grandpa and dad actually used to drive out of San Diego into LA County to go to a bar called The Bridge, because they would play blacked out games, even though they weren't supposed to in that time period. And they would actually open the bar early for my grandpa and my dad, because my grandpa was a union leader for the grocery market. So he was like number one West Coast guy. So my grandpa knew the bartender and he was like super cool with them. So they'd open the game. It took him like half a season before everybody figured out like what the hell is going on here. And then eventually the bar realized that they can make a lot of money by opening the bar early and watching on like a 24 CRT TV and selling snacks to everybody.
Cool.
So capitalism prevails.
Always.
So this change actually occurred because at the time, devout Washington Redskins fan President Richard Nixon was not able to watch the Redskins playoff game. It was one of two times in 27 years that they went to the playoffs, and he was unable to watch the games in DC. So NFL commissioner
blackout. You could blackout playoff games.
Yeah.
This is like Redskins gate.
So
Nixon.
So NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle told Nixon to eat shit and refused to lift the ban, even with a plea from Attorney General Richard Kleindienst.
Oh, that's good.
So presidential privilege and having our tax dollars at work at the time, our grandparents' tax dollars at work, Nixon was able to watch the playoff games in Florida at Key Biscayne and Camp David. And then he was able to watch Super Bowl at his friend Bebe Robezo's club in Key Largo, Florida. So Florida is basically the harbor of all illegal activity for presidents.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah. This actually caused Congress to look into the antitrust within the NFL. And it hit Congress in 1973 with the vote of 93-107. And it was signed by Nixon 2 days before kickoff of the 1973 season.
Ah, dickhead.
Yep. So it all comes back to Nixon.
Always. If not Nixon, it's Reagan.
Yep. I'll see you in hell, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, right.
That's my 73.
That's a good one. Yeah. Like
Redskins Gate. I love it.
Actually I got a little Washington in mind too. So I'll go next. Okay, so this is going to be kind of a stretch to keep it tied to 73, but you know who's counting? It's our show. So we're going to start with the 1973 season and a guy by the name of J.D. Roberts. J.D. Roberts was a pretty good football player in high school and college as a guard. Actually, in 1953, he was eighth in Heisman voting as an offensive lineman. He was drafted by Green Bay in like the 17th round of the draft, but instead went and served in Korea, which I think this might be our first Korean War player. We've had a lot of World War II players.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, this is definitely the only player we've done that played the 1955 season for the Quantico Marines football team. Injured his leg, ending his playing career, so he decided to become a coach. He coached for a bunch of colleges, coached for the Navy team or whatever. No, the Marine team. I coached defense for the Saints in 67 and 68. Then he went to go coach a minor league football team called the Richmond Roadrunners.
Nice.
I like names like that. We need more fun names.
Yeah, for sure. Fuck intimidating. Like
the Topeka Toucans.
Perfect. Perfect. So anyways, J.D. Roberts becomes the head coach after that year of the shit awful New Orleans Saints. He gets hired midseason, and his first game, 5 days after being hired, Tom Dempsey kicks a game-winning 63-yard field goal against Detroit. That field goal was the record for longest field goal until 2013. So, like, 50 years. And then the Saints lost their next six games. They went 2-11-1, and then they drafted Archie Manning in 1971, which is pretty cool, but then they went 4-8-2, which is absolutely not cool. So he's getting ready for his third season and is fired after week 3 of the preseason. He gets replaced by an interim coach. So whatever. It was the 1970 Saints. So it got me thinking, when is the earliest into a season that a coach was fired? Before we get into it, I wanna highlight a couple other notable coach firings. Jeff Jagodzinski was fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 10 days before his first game because he didn't understand the playbook.
Are you serious?
Yes. Dan Campbell got his first NFL head coaching experience filling in for Joe Philbin, who was fired by Miami after starting the season 1-3 in 2015. Pete McCulley was fired as the San Francisco head coach after 9 games in 1978. And notably, Bill Belichick was head coach of the New York Jets twice and never coached a single game.
Really?
Well, you know, he was the assistant coach under Parcells. They were trying to re-sign Parcells, so they made him interim if they couldn't get a deal done, and they got a deal done before like the next game. So he was technically coached there, and then he famously accepted that job with the Jets and then resigned before his introductory press conference and joined the Patriots.
Is that why he spent his entire career just shitting all over that franchise?
Yes, 100%. He scrawled his I resigned from the Jets on a fucking cocktail napkin and gave it to a dude before That's the press crazy. Conference. So, yeah, Bill Belichick. So anyways, back to 1978. My favorite coach firing that happened early in a season has to go to George Allen. He was born in 1918 and was a legend, but I'm like 1,000% sure he was racist as fuck. All right. He's in the Washington Hall of Fame. He never coached a losing team, and he had winning records in the USFL, college, and the NFL. He was the Bears defensive coordinator in the 1960s.
Nice.
Yeah, he was the coach of the Rams in 66 because he was the favorite candidate of the owner, Dan Reeves Sr. He takes an awful team to the playoffs in his first 2 years and then is fired after his second playoff loss because apparently after he got the job, Allen and Reeves just started to fucking hate each other. There was a home game that ended in a tie, and George Allen was like, yeah, well, we would have played better, but the turf was shitty. And Reeves was like, went to the media and was like, well, you know, I guess if you want to make excuses for your team's poor play, you can make excuses if you want. And weeks later, they won a game, and Allen didn't shake Reeves' hand as they're walking off the field and instead is yelling at him for embarrassing his family. Right?
Man, grown men are adjusted.
Right? So he gets canned after the playoff loss. And then, so there's 40 players on the Rams roster. 38 of them came together and said, we will seek a trade or retire if he's not reinstated as coach.
Really?
Yeah. Our unions, baby.
I'm saying. So Reeves gives in. Allen gets another 2-year contract. They had winning records in both seasons, but failed to make the playoffs after his second year, and he was not resigned, and players, I think, were like more cool with it then, I guess.
Sure.
So Allen goes to Washington, coaches from 71 to 77. They make the playoffs a bunch, made it to the Super Bowl. They were the team that lost to the 13-0 Miami Dolphins. Ryan, you're Mike Bass, number 41.
Okay.
Washington and Allen part ways. All right, here we go. Allen decides to go back to the Rams. Dan Reeves, fucking dead. There's a new owner in town, baby, and his name's Carol Rosenblum. And he's like, I'm going to give George Allen one more chance. However, unlike the last time, Allen had no say over personnel and was not happy about it. And while we're talking unhappy, the players fucking hated this dude. All right. Oh, no. He is like a red-assed old school coach. And like players were not cool with his rules, like dress code at dinner, insane like 3-a-day practices, like red assed old man shit.
Right.
You know, in the like 7 years, 8 years since he last got there, I'm sure players were like, hey, I like being treated like a person. And he's like, you will be fed into the meat grinder. So the players are pissed. Some of them go to the media about it. Star linebacker Isaiah Robertson left camp because of it. So tensions are high going into 1978. And he just joined the team, right? So after two poor preseason games, George Allen was fired from the Rams without having coached a single regular season game. So as far as I can find, that is the shortest tenure an NFL head coach has ever had. two preseason games, and that's my number 73 of the shortest NFL head coaching tenures of all time.
You got to be a real asshole for people not to like you in that era, right? Like a straight up menace.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Like an Urban Meyer type. Like, I'm just going to, like, worse than Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, you have to do something heinous or be that fucking awful at your job to be fired that fast.
Or conversely, though, he could also be like, yo, fuck the Pope. And everyone would be like, nope.
That's true. Uh-uh. That's true.
Uh-uh. Done. All right, Ryan, what do you got?
All right. Let's talk about Mr. 6'6", 280 pounds, Mark May.
Mark, pretty tall, May.
former guard for at least four teams, Chargers, Cardinals. He's part of the Hogs in Washington.
Okay. Wow, this is a pretty Washington-centric.
Yeah, right?
Sponsored by Dan Snyder.
Yeah. We're making it a real Redskins gate. So yeah, he went to University of Pittsburgh. At University of Pittsburgh, apparently he was like a real big asshole. It says, in January 1979, as a sophomore at Pitt, May was arrested for disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, criminal mischief, inciting a riot, and making terroristic threats.
This is all one incident?
Apparently, I don't know. It could be multiple. It says May reportedly was jumping on top of parked cars, threatening police officers, and encouraging a crowd of onlookers to fight the officers.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I'm with all of that. I mean, I don't necessarily want to damage other people's cars, but I like the idea of being like, "Fuck you, cop!" Everyone, crazy. Fuck these guys.
As a result, he was found guilty of criminal mischief and disorderly conduct, while the other charges were dismissed somehow. I don't know how. He's like, listen, I'm going to be a big NFL star one day. I'll get you box seats. Don't worry. Just drop some of them charges.
Yeah, the game's going to be blacked out, so you might want to take this down.
His mischief kind of carried over into his NFL career as well. Like, it shows that he's gotten arrested twice for DUI as a member of the Redskins.
How deep does the rabbit hole go, man?
Let's see, 85 and 1990. They called him Mayday. That was his nickname in college. Because he wreaked havoc on opposing defensive ends. Got to play in the Hula Bowl, the Japan Bowl, All-Star Games.
Okay.
Did he punch anybody at the Pro Bowl?
No, there's not too much punching going on. He was more like drinker and rioter.
He's gonna punch you with his car.
Right. He co-wrote a cookbook called Mark May's Hog Cookbook, which features recipes like
hog balls,
of course, a mixture of pork sausage and cheddar cheese.
Of course, it does.
That's right. The last entry in the cookbook is Hog Quiche, and it reads simply,
"Hogs don't eat quiche."
This guy fucking sucks. I love him.
He was with the Redskins for Super Bowl, 27 and 22? But he was injured for the first one. He's one of the 70 greatest Redskins of all time. Started 115 games for the Skins. Let's see, Cardinals from 92 to 93.
This dude played for a while.
Yeah, and also he's with the Chargers somewhere in there, too. Since he's had all this mischief, he obviously worked for ESPN like in the 2000s, and he had a pretty long career at ESPN. It was like, you know, more than a decade.
See, kids, tell your cops you want to fight them, and you'll get a long-standing career at his major sports network.
Oh, yeah. In 2015, ESPN announced that May would be leaving after being there from, like, the early 2000s.
Okay.
He was doing, like, color commentary. He wasn't, like, a regular game analyst.
He was an offensive lineman.
Right. But yeah, some notable stuff. Mr. Mark May.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Interesting guy. May.
I wonder if he was one of those people that got busted for being a fucking mega perv when SportsCenter was in all that trouble a few years ago.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but there was that huge book. Someone wrote a huge book about it. So, all right, cool. So let's take a break. That was a good round of 73s. And we'll come back and we'll talk some news, notes, nugs, and see you then. Bye.
Adam Schefter now joining us. You broke the story, Schefty. What more can you tell us about why the Panthers pulled the trigger to make this move up to number one?
Well, Kevin, let's give you a little bit of the backstory. These talks have been going on and have intensified since the combine. The Bears were in position to make this deal, and they had multiple suitors for the number one overall pick. Houston was interested in moving up one slot. Carolina was interested. Other teams checked in with Chicago. And ultimately, Carolina felt like this was the right compensation package. The Panthers believe they have 48 days, and they've got the right coaches in the building right now. Frank Reich, Josh McCown, others, their general manager Scott Fitter, to assess this quarterback class and to make a decision. Just hung up the phone with
someone. And we're back. All right, let's get off to some football news. Let's talk about the Bears.
Did you guys hear about this?
I don't know if you guys saw.
You seen this? You heard about this? Seen this? So everybody that's listening to this show already knows what happened. They already know, so there's no point in bringing it back up. I guess we'll just say, like, it's a 24 first, a 9, 61, a 25 second round, and DJ Moore. So... Shane, non-Bears homerist thoughts.
Yeah, let's get some outside thoughts.
Is his name Ryan Poles or Robert Poles?
Ryan Poles.
Ryan Poles should be in jail for committing armed robbery because you guys fucking stole from these people. And like I was thinking about this today too. Is like, when's the perfect time to trade the pick? Because you kind of got to hit the market of like when the value is like optimal, as well as like when people start to accept they're not going to get that pick. So I think this is like, it probably might have not been the best offer you could get, but like, I think the amount of return and not revenue, but assets you are able to accrue for the team is probably one of the best like that we've seen in a really long time. And the fact that he would not bend of not giving up DJ Moore to the Bears is like big respect of betting on your quarterback. If anybody who's like, oh, we don't know what they're gonna do with the quarterback, like that single-handedly showed you to shut the fuck up.
Yep. Ryan, did you hear about that? That the original deal was Carolina was like, we want to give you a 2025 first as well. And Poles was like, no, I want DJ Moore. And Carolina was like, yeah, Carolina ended up caving in. And that's how DJ Moore was part of the deal.
That's so crazy. I love it. We got DJ Moore and four picks, and we only moved back to what, 9?
Yep.
In the first round.
And that 24 first is going to be a top 5 pick.
Oh my God. Think about this. Yeah, Ryan, yeah. We were talking about this earlier. This quarterback, whoever he is going to a team with Chuba Hubbard as their starting running back because Foreman's a free agent. Terrace Marshall as wide receiver 1.
Oh my God.
Shy Smith as wide receiver 2. Tommy Tremble. That quarterback is
some love for Tremble
and no first round pick next year. Like that quarterback is fucked.
That's true.
So that, I think that Carolina pick is almost guaranteed a top 10. I can't see a world where Carolina wins 6 games.
Even that division, division's ass, but it's still like,
so, I wanted to, first off, celebrate and thank Lovey Smith forever for the gift that Lovey Smith has bestowed upon the Chicago Bears. But you were talking about the timing, and I kind of want to work this into what else we're talking about here, right? Because the quarterback picture right now in the NFL is like such a gnarly game of musical chairs, right? You got Derek Carr of the Saints for 4 years. Geno Smith re-signed. Danny Dimes resigned. Or re-signed, depending on how you want to read it.
Danny Dimes resigned. Danny Dollars took the money.
I'm saying. So
You should have put a dash between the re and the sign.
Tony's not a teacher or anything.
No, not an English teacher. Grammar's a myth.
It is.
The thing that I was talking to someone earlier about this, that the fact that this pick is traded before Aaron Rodgers signs, I think is huge. Because I think when Aaron Rodgers signs, the value changes and the cycle resets. That takes the Jets out of it. And depending on compensation, I feel like that affects what the Raiders choose to do. That affects what the Panthers chose to do. But now this is done.
I think someone is calling Arizona right now.
Yes.
Someone has to be calling Arizona to block that third pick.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And it was Joey. Joey and I were talking. And I think we could have conversations about Atlanta potentially being like, yo, I know we said Ritter, but like,
just fucking take Lamar. Just take Lamar.
He's right there. He's right there.
He wants to leave.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it makes too much sense. Lamar to Atlanta makes way too much sense.
Yeah, Arthur Smith is getting his dream quarterback. He was trying to do what Lamar does with Ryan Tannehill, but Ryan Tannehill is not good.
No, and I could see Ryan Tannehill getting cut and Tennessee trying to move up to that spot. But the dark horse that Joey brought up that I think is interesting is Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you guys were on that last week. I know you guys, if you're waiting for bet lines to open up to see who has the number one overall pick.
Tampa Bay, man. Tampa Bay, I think, could make a pretty strong push at number three.
Well, what about Green Bay? Like, are they really going to roll with Jordan Love?
I think it depends on what the return is for Rodgers. And let's be real, dude. I would say there's a 75% chance Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay because this is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about.
Yeah, that's true, I guess, but
he wants to be the one that's like smarter than everybody, right?
Yeah, he wants to be like, oh, so everybody thinks I'm leaving, so I'm just going to stay.
Right. That's what I legitimately think that Aaron Rodgers is going to like think himself into staying in Green Bay. Because honestly,
interesting.
I don't think Rodgers is a New York guy. Rodgers is positioning himself as like an outsider, right? Because this motherfucker is going to run for Congress as some right-wing dipshit in 15 years. Like, he doesn't want to play. He's not a New York guy.
Ego also can't take it.
I think his best bet, his best fit is either Vegas or Carolina. So I'm pretty surprised, obviously, and shocked and thrilled. And I'm hoping, you know, Lamar gets his fucking money no matter where he gets it from. What do we think, there's any chance that Baltimore gives him the bag or he settles for less to stay?
I think honestly that team is so upended based on when that survey came out of how many players fucking hate that franchise of like, yeah. Hey, we're all getting hurt. Rashad Bateman literally added his GM and was like, hey, don't put your shit on me, dog. We're doing the best that we can. So maybe give us an attempt. So like, if I'm Lamar too, like they've shown, even as like an incoming rookie, like this franchise has shown that you're just replaceable and you're just pawns in the game. So like, granted, you're going to take the money when you can, and you're not going to sit out, but like Lamar should leave, right? His talent level is too high. Maybe he gets injured once in a while more than people want, but like he's worth, we've seen pieces of shit get paid an exorbitant amount of money or people who are bad at the game get paid an exorbitant amount of money. If he's getting paid market value, right? Like it's just asinine for a team to be like, you know what? That's not worth enough.
Well, the NFL's, right. You know, the only one of the big four sports that doesn't have fully guaranteed contracts.
Right.
Like, this shouldn't even be an issue. All contracts should be fully guaranteed. I signed the fucking paper that says I'm playing for your team. Pay me the dollar amount that's on the paper. Obviously, I wrote in the fucking write-up for this episode, Justice for Lamar Jackson, like, this dude's standing up for labor by being like, fuck an agent, pay me what I'm worth and guarantee it for injury because I see my value. And that's the problem with an agent. An agent is going to tell them the same thing that your parents say when the world's on fire and they tell you to just vote. Like, maybe right. You should get an agent. If you get an agent and the agent tells you, hey, you know what, man, here's why requiring it to all be guaranteed is a bad idea. That's counter to progress.
Sure.
Like, I hate to say do a deal with the devil, but like maybe get Watson's manager. You know what I mean? If like he got that piece of shit, all that money. And I don't know what kind of black magic wizardry he consumed on or casted on those people to convince like, hey, this guy hasn't played football in 2 years and might go to prison. You should give him $250 million. Like, what has Lamar done besides be MVP? Right. Like,
right. And so I was actually thinking, I had a vision, an apparition in my mind, if you will. If we're talking about, because I feel like if I have to say something stupid that seems counterintuitive, I'm going to do it now. Because Lamar to Atlanta seems like it makes the most sense. In terms of scheme and team fit, I think the team that makes the second most sense for Lamar Jackson is Tennessee.
Yep, 100%.
But I'm telling you, man, we have fucking wild card in our midst, and it's Jim fucking Irsay. So Lamar in Indy, if Indy was already committed to shopping the fourth pick, there's half of the compensation you have to give them.
What's
Indy has? Indy has a playoff team, but they don't have a quarterback.
Do they have cap space to fit him in?
I mean, you can make it work. The cap's not real.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like if I was creaming at the thought of Richardson and Indy after they got the Eagles coach and Richardson's combine. But like, if Lamar goes there, his stock's going through the roof. He's got more than one wide receiver. He's got a running back, right? A better coach who's going to actually utilize his skill set besides pulling the guard to do a QB draw every other play.
Dude, I'm thinking about Lamar Jackson to Alec Pierce deep balls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With a better running back than Lamar's ever had next to him in Baltimore.
And a better O-line too.
And a better offensive line. And a good defense. A good, we will slow the game down defense, and you can grind out possessions with good skill position players and a strong offensive line. I mean, that's why I lost that pizza bet to Wally last year, because I will die on the hill that Indy is, I think, the most appealing spot for a free agent quarterback. I think it's more appealing than the Jets.
Sure. Well, they were just unlucky last year. Like, I watched the Kohler video the other day, and like, they just had a rotating O-line. Like, they had a good O-line, but people just kept getting injured to the point where they could no longer find someone to start in that position. And Matt Ryan moves at the space of molasses, right? So, like, it was just the worst possible timing, and Jeff Saturday had to be the fall guy. But, like, they're in a position where they could fall back up. It might be like San Francisco, right, where San Francisco had that 1 year where they were just injury-riddled and then got a top three pick or a high upper echelon pick, and then they just tore up the next couple of years with depth because they have a younger based team.
And I mean, like, you look at a team like Philly. Philly's got the 10th pick in this draft. Seattle's got the 5th. Detroit's got the 6th. Like, I think we're starting to see player trades are just going to happen more, because trades used to not be a thing as much as they are now. But now I think people have realized, like, well, it just makes more sense. If we're not going to pay this guy, it makes more sense for us to move him. I mean, even though I consider it less than a lateral move, like Tennessee being like, we're not going to pay AJ Brown, might as well move him. Baltimore wasn't going to pay Hollywood. And they're going to pay Roquan Smith. Like, Roquan's the shit. Roquan Smith is not Lamar Jackson.
I think that's the thing, though. Some teams believe that their team is, their identity is something, right? Where Baltimore's management believes that their identity is not Lamar Jackson, it's their defense.
And they're wrong.
And that's where they put their money in, of like, hey, we are a defensively, we're going to grind you out team, and then we're going to put up 13 points with our MVP caliber quarterback with no wide receivers. So it's like, it's the same thing of perception versus reality.
Yeah. We have some big franchise tags going on. Josh Jacobs tagged. Evan Ingram's tagged. Technically, Lamar Jackson is tagged. Saquon is tagged. Tony Pollard is tagged. We got some big tags here, gentlemen. Suddenly, this free agent running back class doesn't look so hot.
I think that's smoke and mirrors. I think they need the foundation of a guy who's in the system, but with how many people are in this class of relatively good people, I mean, we saw at the combine, and we'll talk at a later date, that it doesn't hurt to have a veteran on the team, right?
Yeah.
Like, I still think that for how much Peterson loves tight ends, Evan Ingram is replaceable with the caliber of talent in this draft class.
Sure.
Is Calvin Ridley going to play?
Hell yeah, he's reinstated, baby.
Well, does that mean he's made his decision to come back and play?
Yeah, he's playing. I mean, he got traded, so he's still under contract.
That's so awesome in Jacksonville.
Dude, Jacksonville's offense, I am really excited for the AFC South next year.
Saying Houston's, it now, Jacksonville's going to the playoffs again.
That's their division to lose, 100%.
I think, I don't know, I think if Jacksonville gets in, I think Jacksonville is a wild card team because I think, depending on if Indy hits on a QB.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, and I think, you know, if Bryce Young goes to Houston, it feels like that feels like a foregone conclusion right now. Like,
it did sign Robert Woods today, so wide receiver 4.
If they get Bryce Young at 2 and they go Jaxon Smith-Njigba at 12, come on, man. That might be super fun.
It's amazing how fast that wide receiver spot has been locked up earlier. Before it was, oh, Addison. Then the combine happened. Everyone's like, well, see you in the garbage, kid.
Yeah. It's Jaxon Smith-Njigba time. Ryan, what do you think? Think the Giants are going to go back to the playoffs with Saquon and Daniel Dollars, Dineros?
No. One of them's going to get hurt.
You don't think they got some playoff potential? Some Brian Daboll?
Daniel Jones just made some mad money. He's going to go out in like the third game this year.
I'm telling you, next year, when Daniel Dimes, Dineros, Dollars takes a snap from shotgun, and he's got Saquon Barkley standing next to him, Daniel Bellinger at tight end, Isaiah Hodgins on one side, Wandale Robinson in the slot, and Quentin Johnson on the other side, shit might look nice.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnson will be... I really Brian Daboll's Gabe Davis.
Sure. I really liked Hodges. He came out like...
I think he's the one that ends up being their wide receiver 1 next year.
I just sold him today, too, in Dynasty.
What'd you get?
303.
Interesting. Interesting.
It's a tank team, and I got him for a dollar off of waivers, so...
That's a victory. What do we think about Geno Smith? 3-year deal, $100 million. Geno Smith got paid less than Daniel Dollars.
Well, it's like a 2-year contract at most, right? Like
it's 3 for $105. And yeah, I think there's an out after 2 years.
Where this is, hey, we have a window. We're going to use all these picks of us killing the draft last year. And it's going to be competitive with them in San Fran for the NFC West. It's going to be a lot closer than I think people think.
If Seattle nails this draft too, they are... set up. If they hit at 6-18, they are in such a good spot.
Yeah. So Walker stays healthy.
Well, I think they go running back in the draft.
Yeah, they have nobody else behind them.
Right. Yeah, they got DJ Dallas and Travis Homer. Like, that's the cool thing about this draft is there's so many guys. Like, they could do in that Brett Coleman video, he says that they go Izzy Abanaconda. They could go Muhammad Ibrahim. They could go, you know, they could even reach up a little bit and get, you know, a Roshan or a Tajay Spears or...
Stay there, Chase Brown.
Yeah.
It's pick your poison. There's 15 dudes in the same tier, right? You're just right. Okay, who's available to me of the skill set that we want.
Right. So I think, man, I think Seattle's going to be a really, really fun team next year. And Detroit. I mean, Detroit's got 2 first-round picks this year.
Yeah, I'm excited for Detroit, too.
Dude, I love the chaos. Like, it seriously feels like draft capital was never traded. It's traded on the night of the draft, but never this much, like, before the draft, where teams have 2 picks. So many teams have 2 picks. So many teams have 0 picks.
Yeah.
I'm glad teams have given up the dynasty mentality of we're going to be the Pats and win seven in a row of just like, fuck it. We're going to win one, blow it up and just try again in five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Fuck it. I mean, that's the NBA model, right? Like NBA players, find me a basketball player that plays his whole career for one team. And I'll show you a guy that played for 3 years. Like people just go sign contracts. Like they're just right. Like, all right, I'm going to go over here or, hey, we're trading you here. Okay, well, you've been traded again. And that sucks. That fucking sucks for the players. But from an organizational and a franchise standpoint, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Rams. They're cutting Leonard Floyd, who I have a signed football from. No big deal. Just, you know. They want to get rid of Jalen Ramsey. They've pretty much said everyone on the team's for sale except for Kupp, Donald, and Stafford.
Which okay. is still wild to me because Kupp is like the only person of value on that team. Like if you can get like Houston, if Houston can like 16 is probably way too, or 12 is probably way too much to pay for Cooper Kupp. But like, you know what I mean? Like why have this guy just die here? Like, and Stafford probably should retire. Like I know he's going to make a bunch of money this year if he plays, but don't be paralyzed.
That ideally. Does Tony Pollard getting the franchise tag, does that end the dream of Bijan to Dallas?
I don't think so.
You think they just cut Zeke?
I think so, because, I mean, like, what's his cap it if they cut him? Can't be a lot.
No, because I think he's on year three of that yeah. huge deal he signed.
I mean, even if they don't get Bijan, there's plenty of bruisers in that. Like, I don't know, they could draft Sharps, right?
That would make sense. What do you think, Ryan? What do you think about Josh Jacobs? Who's the quarterback standing next to Josh Jacobs week one? Is it Jared Stidham?
I don't think so. I hope not. You know, I think we've mentioned it before in an episode. I'd like to see Rodgers go to the Raiders.
I just haven't heard any talk of it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like Rodgers, it's between the Jets and Green Bay.
It seems like a Rodgers destiny, like he'd want to get back with Devontae.
I hate to put this juju back out into the universe for the second time this episode. I don't know, man. The Raiders could totally be like a Jameis team. But I think it's Jimmy G. I think it's Jimmy G.
They're so broke too, right? Where like, how do you pay whatever Rodgers wants? Because I know Rodgers can be like, I'm not doing less than for 55, right?
Right, right. Oh, yeah, and I don't think they have enough money in escrow to afford that.
No, they're very cash poor.
That's so funny.
It's the bowl cuts, dude. They cut into the budget.
I think it's Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G is the guy in Vegas next season.
I saw a rumor today of Jimmy G to the Texans, and I was like, are they taking Richardson?
Yeah.
And just going to let him sit for a year?
They still have Davis Mills.
He's fine.
Yeah. Like Davis Mills, listen, Davis Mills helped the Bears get the first overall pick. That's important. But more importantly, the Colts helped the Bears get the number one overall pick. So both of those teams are such garbage that I thank them. I thank Lovie Smith. Praise Lovie. Lovie was always that dude that's like, our guys are going to play hard no matter what. And we are, as Bears fans, one DJ Moore richer as a result of that.
And don't fire your guy on the last game of the season. That's the dumbest shit ever. Don't give someone their walking papers when they're still on the job site.
Yep. And Lovie's a players coach. And so those dudes are like, we're going out to win for the homie. Like we're doing this for Lovie Smith. He's the guy.
As a Bears fan, who do you guys want at 9?
So I'm torn. But to me, it has to be an edge.
Yeah, it's
an edge rusher.
Be a
lineman. An edge rusher. Or there's the tackle from Ohio State. And there's also there's the guard from Northwestern who played tackle. But Skoronski is a guy that's going to transition to guard. Here's the thing. The Bears have been rumored to a couple offensive linemen, a couple of the more premium offensive linemen. So, like, I want someone that's going to play on the line on either side, and I'm pretty cool with whichever one they do. I trust this dude. Just showed me. I have so many reasons to trust him. Ryan Poles, like
right.
He's a former offensive lineman, and the guy that started every snap for the Bears at left tackle last year, they got in the fifth round. Like, he played decent. Braxton Jones was all right. Not a great pass blocker, but like, the Bears were the number one rushing team in the NFL, so there's something there.
Yeah.
But I want three new offensive line starters, and I want like four new defensive line starters. So however we get there, go nuts.
Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, that's where we need to reinforce is both sides of the line. We just got DJ Moore. We're still developing Fields. I mean, we might need to do something about a running back.
We'll get a guy late.
Yeah, I mean, is Montgomery going to go somewhere?
I think he comes back. I really do. Yeah. I think he comes back to Chicago.
He's a good Bear. I mean,
he fits what they want to do.
Yeah.
He was, when he's healthy, he's an incredibly competent running back. And, like, he's going to be cheap. I don't know. If someone wants to overpay for Montgomery, like, as much as, because he's been on the Bears forever, like, I'll still, you know, the Bears will be okay without him. They're, like Shane was saying, this class is so deep that it could go either way. But the thing that I wanted to say that I think is the truly unspoken greatness here is, as much as I love JSN and maybe having Jaxon Smith-Njigba on the Bears would have been sick, getting DJ Moore as part of this deal just takes such a big, like a top three need off the table. We don't have to worry about it. Bears don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
Like, and you're expediting his development too. Instead of correct. Being like, oh, we'll get you a wide receiver next year, blah, blah, blah. Like, well, next year might not happen. You have three receiving options that are more than serviceable. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, sure. Yeah. I'm sure everybody regrets the Claypool trade now, but hindsight's 2020, right?
Right.
But well, I don't know. You got a slot. Well, you got a big man.
This is Philly getting, you know, AJ Brown for yes. Jalen Hurts. This is Buffalo getting Stephon Diggs for Josh Allen. Like, this is Arizona getting Hollywood Brown for Kyler Murray. Like, this is the idea where it's like, okay, we're ready for you to take that next step. It's time. That's why I can see the Giants making an offer or a run at like T. Higgins.
Yep. Agree 100%.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So we got 10 draft picks now this year. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And Houston can make a run at Higgins too. They got the cap.
Four picks in the first 64.
Yep. And
that's a good spot to be in to just get all linemen.
Well, last year, Poles had, because they still inherited, you know, Pace's god-awful train wreck of a team. And Poles turned, I want to say, 6 picks into 11 with tradebacks. And like, I was saying this earlier to Joey, and I'll say it again. These general managers that are young enough to have grown up playing franchise mode in Madden are getting to do that shit in real life, and it fucking rules.
Yeah, the this old is not, heads,
they're gone.
This is not your guys' first trade. You guys are probably going to have 2 or 3 more where you guys scoop up more assets.
Well, I'm starting to think. Ryan said we have pick, the Bears have pick 54, 61, and 64. If someone they like, if someone they have evaluated as top 20, if they fall to 38, 39, fucking move up. You've got the ammo to do it.
Lions did it last year too. Right. That was really cheap.
Yeah, they got Jameson Williams. Like, if you know, like, you have enough capital, if you see a guy and you're like, this dude's a top 8 player on our board and he's still there at pick 36, is it willing to give up two guys that are in our top 25? Like, go fucking do it, man.
And that's especially why I have 7 third rounders in Dynasty.
Right, dude. Yeah, because that's ammo, right? You can move up and down. They have an extra 25, an extra second in 2025. The only pick that I need the Bears to hold forever is that Carolina first. If they trade next year's Carolina first, I will be incensed. Unless they're like, T. Higgins, come on down.
No, you can't trade that because, like you guys said earlier, it's going to be like a top five pick.
And you get two more first
top three. Top three, yeah.
And that's the thing, right, Shane? Like, if, say, the DJ Moore to Justin Fields connection is just otherworldly, and one of, because, okay, Claypool, Mooney, and Kmet are all up for contract renewals. They're all going into their final season of their deal. So if you extend two of them and you have DJ Moore and, say, Claypool and Kmet, and you have a top three pick, you're telling me you're going to pass on Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, there's no way.
Yeah. And even then, like, DJ Moore doesn't have to go ballistic. As long as he hits his consistency of being wide receiver 15 on the year of 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns, it's the best wide receiver Fields has had, right? So it's like you're only going to benefit everybody else, and DJ Moore's fantasy value maintains the same. So this is the best passer he's had in his career.
I posted this. I wanted to say, where did it go? That DJ Moore's rankings as a wide receiver in 5 years, his total receptions in his career over his first 5 years would be third in Bears history. The only two players that have more catches in Bears history than DJ Moore has so far are Walter Payton, a running back, and Matt Forte, a running back. And he would be the all-time Bears leading receiver by yardage right now at this point in his career.
He's like 25 too, right?
He's 25 years old. So, like, this is, as a Bears fan, this is my Super Bowl. I'm to the moon, you know, and
love it.
It's changed the way that I'm looking at prospects too, because let's talk. We got a little bit of time. Let's talk combine stuff. Ryan, did you have a chance to watch any of the combine? The Underwear Olympics?
Not really. I didn't watch too much outside of what I was seeing about guys 40 times and stuff.
And Anthony Richardson achieving, like,
godhood.
Who was that one guy that got, like, did he tear his ACL on the, it was a lineman doing the.
Yeah.
Set the bench press record for this year. It's like 38 reps with a torn ACL the next day. Said job's not done. Dog.
Yep. Absolute king shit. We have a lot of guys with some real, real nice, RAS scores, and like Zach Kuntz, having a perfect 10, which means he's Jelani Woods level athletic.
Really?
Supposedly. I mean, his 40 was decent. Obviously it's a relative athletic score, so it's compared to other tight ends. But we also had Darnell Washington with a 9.84 out of 10. We had Luke Musgrave with a 9.94 out of 10. We had Luke Schoonmaker. Luke Schoonmaker had a 9.75 out of 10.
The Schoon.
Yeah. Sam Laporta, a 9.25. And then, what's his name? Michael Mayer with an 8.08. Looking like a slow, shitty old man.
Wow.
But that was the thing. He was never going to be a combine tester guy.
He was very good for being bad athletically. Like, yeah, he tested extremely well for everybody being like, he is just not athletic. Like, that profile is still very good.
Yeah. It's just so funny because everyone's like, all right, don't put too much into the combine. Don't put too much into the combine. And then all of a sudden, Anthony Richardson's 101. And like, everything changes. Even though they
Washington
said that
is tight end one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Ryan, I don't know if you knew this, but like people in the Discord were talking about how Darnell Washington from Georgia should be taken as the first tight end off the board in real life drafts and fantasy drafts this year. And it's like, dude, no. He's good.
I could see a team like Cincinnati taking him, right? Like in the late, if they can't find anybody better for that position, because the dude can block like a motherfucker. He moved that sled like 30 feet.
Yeah.
And he's a receiving option.
Yeah. I could see it in terms of a player who's probably doesn't need a lot of time to transition to the NFL because he's played for Georgia on such a big team, you know?
Yep. Yeah. He's pro ready.
He's probably more ready than most of these guys in the draft.
But I want him over, you know, obviously I think he's a better football player than fucking Noah Gray or Blake Bell or whatever eighth string tight end is on a high volume passing offense. Because yeah, I think he, say he goes to, I don't know, Philly, like he's on the field a lot. He's going to be
cool in Philly. I like it. I mean, Hurts is getting, what's his name? Targets all the time.
Yeah, Goddard. Well, yeah, the problem with Philly is that everyone on their defense keeps getting hurt and leaving. So
imagine the scrum though with Washington. They're just going to pick up Hurts and just throw him 15 yards.
I know they keep trying to say that they're going to make that play illegal. It's like, man, why do you hate fun?
Sorry, I broke the game.
I did see something like that the other day. I was like, what the fuck is that all about? This is football. It's, you're lining up in a line and you got to get closer to the other line.
Right. Well, you just line up linebackers behind defensive ends and push back, and just it'll be like a fucking guardrail at a, you know.
Why can't they all just line up in a diamond and the quarterback run behind them? Like they should just be able to do that too.
Just set up wedges. Fuck it.
Yeah.
See, the bright spot about this tight end class though is I think we're going to see them fall, even if they get like high capital. I think this class is so deep we're going to get extreme value on these high end prospects in like the third round.
Yeah.
Well, Shane's guy, his secret sleeper, Marvin Mims is absolutely he's no longer a sleeper.
Secret's out, baby.
He's the real deal, man. We talked about him last week. He is that dude. And he tested extremely well. Didn't he run like a 4.38 or something like that?
Yeah.
And he's a guy, like Ryan, I was saying last week, he's like a little shorter. He's got that George Pickens mentality of like, that's my ball. Give me that ball. So he's shooting up draft boards. Bijan killed it because he's Bijan. Jackson Smith and Jigba did well. Jordan Addison lost a lot of love, I think.
Hit the bed. Apparently he had a back injury, so I hope that's the case. Like, I hope he's fine and I don't wish injury on anybody, but like, I hope that combine was he strained his back and he could not perform.
Right.
Boutte.
Yeah.
Worst performance out of the combine.
He did not do good. Tank Dell didn't do so good, but I think a lot of Tank Dell's poor scores because he's very small.
Yeah. He's 5'8", which it's sad to watch to kill your friends, but I got to bail on my guy.
Yeah. I comped him to Quez Watkins. But there's a lot of guys that we didn't get to see at the combine. Jaden Reed from Michigan State that I really wanted to watch. Quentin Johnson didn't run the 40.
Evans, Tucker, they didn't run. I know that was pissing off fantasy analysts.
Yep. But fuck it, man. If you're not a speed person, why hurt your stock?
Like JSN did, smartest thing anybody in that room did all weekend was JSN not running the 40.
Yep. Yeah, Ryan, I don't know if you heard about this, but like, I think it was the three-cone shuttle that like JSN, a cornerback for Kentucky, and Darnell Washington had the three highest scores. It was like the fastest three-cone score for a tight end in like 8 years. And it just happens to be by the guy that's like, you know, 8 feet tall and weighs 290 pounds.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. Charbonnet looked good. Another Shane favorite. Charbonnet looked good.
Very stable. I saw what I wanted to see. Good athleticism. Because what he rank on his Ross? Like 9.1?
He was a...
He was like RB3.
9.68, actually.
There you go. It's my guy.
That was a real good score. So this is, I mean, we are a pro Zach Charbonnet podcast, all three of us. I think he might be the second running back off the board.
I'm not going to dissuade Gibbs, though. Gibbs, even though he came in at 5'9", he ran a 4.35, and he looked crisp out there.
Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs is the real deal.
I loved watching Charbonnet on UCLA last year. It was awesome.
But so hear me out. I think Zach Charbonnet has more value to a real life NFL team.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can play all three downs. He can catch passes. Yep. He can block. And you don't have to take him out. Whereas Gibbs is a specialist, even though he's great.
Well, that's like what we talked about last week, right? Is if Charbonnet falls to like 203 in drafts, I'm moving up. I'm taking him, right? Because I would rather take him at 203 and give up assets for a couple dead dudes in the third or whatever, as opposed to taking Gibbs at 105, 106, right? Because Gibbs he plays smaller than he actually is, even though he's covered in grease. You can't catch him, but he's going to be very scheme dependent, right? Where we had this hype of Alvin Kamara making 100 vacated targets in 2021 or 2022, and he got 35 passes, right? Where if Gibbs doesn't get that volume in, I mean, that's a number I'm kind of just pulling out of my ass, right? It was significantly lower than what it was expected. Where if he doesn't hit that volume on what his main skill set is, he's going to be a disappointment.
Yes. I am interested to see. I mean, obviously, we still have another month, but what I'm stoked about, you guys, is free agency starts this week. The tampering starts on Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
Because, as you know, no teams have contacted players yet, because that would be unethical.
That's I'm pretty sure that's illegal. You can get years in jail for that.
I'm saying. And, like, you won't get your contract guaranteed when you get out, that's for sure. I think next week we'll come back and we'll talk about who signed where, because the first wave of free agency will be officially done by the time we reconvene next week.
You think it's going to be crazy like the first week, or is it just going to be meh, just blah?
I think it'll be interesting. I think we'll see some. I mean, there's already some, you know, some pieces falling into place, and I guess it's just a question of like, how quickly do people want to, you know, run that shit, really, right?
This has been the year of the trade so far, so let's see
some more. God, that'd be fun. I think we're going to see a lot of signings, but I also don't know how many of those signings end up being, like, fantasy relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can relate it to last year, right, where all the QBs were moving of mid-tier to not upper echelon quarterbacks, but like it was a signal to the draft that the quarterback class sucked, right? Where I feel like this year we're going to see a lot of movement of wide receivers, because this wide receiver class is disappointing to some, right? Where we're going to see guys who are on contract years or about to be on contract years being moved, as opposed to taking a bunch of slot guys or the top two guys of Johnston and JSN.
Right. I think we'll see. I think we will see a lot of defensive players sign real quick. I guess then let's just ask a couple of fantasy questions before we head on out for the night. By the time we meet on Friday of next week to record, is Jakobi Meyers, has he signed a contract by then?
I don't think he's going in the first week.
Don't the Patriots usually get their stuff done really early? Because I remember when the Jonnu Smith and the Hunter Henry stuff happened, that was like very in the beginning of the opening season where Bill wants to get his plan coordinated for. I'd say yes.
Okay. Ryan, you say no?
No.
What about Juju?
Yeah, he'd probably go in the first week.
Okay.
He's getting paid probably nothing. So Carolina's going to give him like $6 million. Good luck.
Dude. Carolina should be making a play. Sure. Should be making a play at a wide receiver. They literally have to. There's no other fucking choice. David Montgomery. Is David Montgomery signed?
I don't know. I feel like Bears might
be. I feel no. I think he's a second, third wave guy.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mike Gesicki. Is Mike Gesicki signed by this time next week?
Is anyone really interested in Gesicki? I mean,
he's a good tight end. They just don't use him. Like, no, I could see him going.
He's in the later stages.
I can see him going to, you know, the Chargers. Chargers? I mean, I know you don't. Yeah, Shane's nervously shaking his head. I know we don't want that. But also, Shane, what do you think before we go? This will be our last point. Chargers restructuring Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, meaning they're keeping both.
Yeah. How do you replace two editors, or how do you get a deep threat guy or a speedster and get another wide receiver with the money that we don't have? So even if we're kicking the can down the road, I think it's a smart move. I'm not like all in on Mike Williams. I'm probably like, I'm not a hater, but I'm just like more realistic about his expectations and the game. Where I think Keenan Allen should just retire a Charger. I think he's at the end of his career and Herbert's safety valve, and I think it's going to be good. And yeah, I don't mind it. I really hope we still draft the wide receiver. I feel if Michael Mayer slips, though, I have a weird feeling that we cut Jared Everett and draft Michael Mayer.
I don't hate it. I mean, this is the...
I would like it.
This is a bad year to be a free agent tight end.
Yeah.
Like, Hayden Hurst, bro, you're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Dust.
Yeah, just hang out. Austin Hooper, just chill somewhere. Go over somewhere else. He still might be on the Titans. I don't know. Do the Titans have an offense, really?
They got Chig and our son Traylon.
Yeah. And yeah. Derrick Henry, but, like, who's he?
My dad has come around. He wants Bijan or he wants Zay Flowers. That's who he wants.
I think, like, the newest Brett Coleman, and Ryan, if you haven't watched the Brett Coleman, like, he goes team by team and, like, rebuilds them through free agency, through the draft. He does, like, a mock off season for all these teams, and they're really fucking well done videos.
He's doing the top 10. He clarified today.
Okay.
Top 10 draft picks.
So he just did, you know, the Seahawks. He was talking about Zay Flowers, and he was like, dude, I thought he was going to be there early in the second. It's not happening. He might even be a top 15 pick.
I'm all in on Zay Flowers.
Yeah, Ryan, he's Boston College slot receiver, but like he does it all, man. He does it all.
He put on 13 pounds in the offseason because everybody's like, hey, he's too small. He said, watch me.
Yeah, dude, he got fucking rocked up. Like, and it's crazy.
And he still ran a 4.38, right?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Damn.
He's short, and he's like 5'8". So, like, people are worried about how that translates, but, like,
He plays bigger, though.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy the way he plays in the slot. That's going to be a lot of fun. I could see him. I'm afraid I could see him in Green Bay. Like, really? I know Michael Mayer is a thing, but, like, they have done a pretty good job for themselves without a tight end. If you get a good slot and you have Watson and Dobbs on the outside.
Mike Gesicki.
There you go.
Packers, and they draft Flowers.
Sick. Look at that skill position. Dobbs, Christian Watson, Zay Flowers, Mike Gesicki, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. You're putting Jordan Love in a position to be successful.
True.
Even though we don't want the Packers to succeed.
No. And I'm just, I want Rodgers to come back for one more year to Green Bay because I want the Bears to just beat the shit out of him twice.
Take the belt.
Like, the greatest karmic justice, and I can laugh about an injury because it happened to Brett Favre.
Yeah, but Brett Favre sucks. So.
Right, exactly. So the greatest karmic justice was the Bears ended Brett Favre's career. Bears player sacked Brett Favre when he was playing for the Vikings and he got a concussion and sat out the rest of the season and then retired. So the last hit he ever took was by a Bears player. And he ruined so many of my Sundays.
Like, I was going to be in federal prison. So you're fine.
That's so great. I wonder if he can wear his Wranglers in the pen. If they'll let him. All right. So, hey, this was a good 73, you know, like, there are weeks in the off season where a whole season happens, and then there are weeks where nothing happens.
Yep.
So we've got a couple of these exciting weeks ahead, and then we go back, I think, to the lull before the draft comes out. And
that's when we go nuts.
Yeah, exactly. That's when we get crazy. I think we should start doing some like mock drafts, looking at dynasty, like rookies. So that's what we'll talk next week about free agency.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Sweet. So for 73, for Shane, Ryan, Craig, I'm Tony, and we did it.
Hell yeah.
Go home.
Take care of yourselves.
Stay gold, friends. Night. We'll be right back.
For Australian viewers, that's 121 kilometers.